गिरिवर धारी। गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन ब्रज जन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधे जय गौरांगनिताय 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 श्री श्री गौरांगनिताय जय प्रभु परा जय प्रभु परा प्रभु पदा श्रील प्रभु पदा Gurudev, 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 Jaya Srila Gurudev. కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి నిరంతరా శ్రీమద్ భాగవతంకి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. నష్టప్రాయేష్వ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికి. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 3rd క్యాంటో 16th చాప్టర్ 16th వర్స్. ఋషయ ఊచు నా వయం భగవన్ విద్వంస్ నా వయం భగవన్ విద్మః తవ దేవ చికీర్షితం కృతో మే అనుగ్రహశ్చేతి యద్ అధ్యక్ష ప్రభాషసే. ఋషయః ఊచుః నా వయం భగవన్ విద్మస్ తవ దేవ చికీర్షితం కృతో మేనుగ్రహశ్చేతి యదధ్యక్ష ప్రభాషసే. ఋషయః ఊచుః నా వయం భగవన్ విద్మస్ తవ దేవ చికీర్షితం కృతో మేనుగ్రహశ్చేతి యదధ్యక్ష ప్రభాషసే. ఋషయ ఊచుః నా వయం భగవన్ విద్మస్ దేవ చికీర్షితం. Rishayaha, the sages, Uchuhu said, Na, not, Vayam, we, Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vidmaha, did know, Tava, your, Deva, O Lord, Chikirshitam, wish for us to do. Kritaha has been done. May unto me anugraha favor cha and iti thus yath which adhyakshaha the supreme ruler prabhashase you say. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada ki, The sages said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are unable to know what you intend for us to do. For even though you are the supreme ruler of all, you speak in our favor as if we had done something good for you. Purport. The sages could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone, was speaking as if he were in the wrong. Therefore, it was difficult for them to understand the words of the Lord. They could understand, however, that the Lord was speaking in such a humble way just to show them his all-merciful favor. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare The sages said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are unable to know what you intend for us to do. For even though you are the supreme ruler of all, you speak in our favor as if we had done something good for you. So in the scriptures it is said, Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Mahajano yena gatah sappanta. By studying, by knowing the English language, one cannot study a physics book. Yes, physics book may be in English language, but we cannot understand it by even knowing the English language. Similarly, even by knowing the Sanskrit or the translations of the words in Sanskrit, we cannot comprehend the meaning of the scriptures. Because somebody came to Prabhupada and asked about a particular verse, and Prabhupada told, this is the meaning of the verse. So they were saying, no, Swamiji, I want an exact Sanskrit translation. They said, Prabhupada said, further you can go to your Sanskrit teacher. Why do you come to me? He said, you don't have to go to Acharya if you want to know literal meaning of the, the Sanskrit verses. So Acharya is one who is a follower of Mahajana. Mahajano yena kataha sappanta. So by following the Mahajanas, in whose heart the dharma resides, the satya, the absolute truth resides in the heart of the Mahajans. So because the Lord resides in the heart of Mahajanas, they can know the heart of the Lord also. They can know the intent of the Lord, the mood of the Lord, the behavior of the Lord. it is not a secret for them. Yeah, it may be a secret for many, but for the pure devotees, the Lord cannot hide himself. Just like once Srivas Thakur was like, you know, doing like this, looking at the sun. Lord Chaitanya asked, "What are you doing, Srivas?" He said, "I'm trying to block the sun so no one can see it." So Mahaprabhu asked, "How can anyone block the sun?" Immediately Srivas Thakur turned to Mahaprabhu and said, "How can anyone block your glories, my Lord? Everybody knows you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And especially you cannot hide it to your devotees." So once Advaitacharya Prabhu, he once arranged for Pig Sankirtan to be led by him, glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Mahaprabhu didn't like. But Mahaprabhu would protest if somebody would declare him to be Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, he would plug his ears and say, "Vishnu, Vishnu." But Lord finds himself unable to hide his identity and his intent and his heart to his own very dear devotees. Because of his love for them, the Lord cannot hide himself. So it is said the Lord is mystical to the yogis and jnanis and brahmanas, but the Lord is merciful to his devotees. Just like you see how in that place called Paita, when Krishna assumed the form of 400 form of Vishnu, you know. So in our Pune temple, one person has come and gifted us one traditional hand-carved wooden huge murti, almost like 6 to 8 feet probably, I think. Very broad also, very traditional and very intricate carving. So in that, the Lord has four hands along with a flute also. In two hands, he is playing flute. And he has got Chanka Chakra Gada Padma. Who is that Lord? He is the Lord Krishna in Paita. Because he has four hands, but he is not Vishnu. Who is he? Krishna, assuming the form of Vishnu. But could he maintain that form to Srimati Radharani? He could not maintain. That two hands melted away. So in this way, because devotees are completely free from all kinds of misgivings, and they have pure devotion to Lord, the Lord does not hide his heart to the devotees. Devotees can understand the intention of the Lord. That is why Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas, "Srivas, although your son passed away, for the sake of protecting my ecstasy, you are also singing and dancing with all of us as if nothing has happened in your home. How can I leave the company of someone who is so dear to my heart?" So by asking this question, Lord Chaitanya hinted to his sannyas. So in this way, Lord is attached to his devotees, and having reposed complete faith in his devotees, the Lord also reveals himself. Even we people also, in our life also, we reveal ourselves to the degree we develop faith. Correct, no? Like you go to anybody's house, no, you bat at the door. Nowadays they have this lens. If a lady were to open the door in a daytime, even if somebody goes to distribute books or anything, you know, she will first see through the door. If it is some unknown person, she will not open, isn't it? Nowadays, even apart from that, they have a chain also, little chain to check, so that nobody can barge in. You can see the full person also, isn't it? You don't allow very easily unless you know. If somebody says, "First you let me in, then I will tell you." No, nobody will let you in like that, correct? No? So people maintain their privacy of their heart and their lives, and they would not want to reveal. Because first you want to know the person's pulse before you can give your heart, or before you can open your heart. Just like when you want to take a hot water bath, first you touch the water temperature and check it, right? You don't just take it and pour it on the head. After that you check the temperature. Anybody pours smoky hot water on the head? You won't do that. Similarly, in dealing with people also, everybody, they will open up their heart or come forward, depending on the trust they develop in one another. So Lord also has developed a very deep trust in his devotees. So then Lord has no fear to reveal himself. Like Krishna tells Arjuna, ಇದಂ ತದೇ ಗುಹ್ಯತಮಂ ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಅನಸೂಯವೇ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಯಜ್ಞಾತ್ವಾ ಮೋಕ್ಷಿಷೇ ಅಶುಭಾತ್ ಇಸ್ ಟೆಲಿಂಗ್ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಟೆಲ್ ಮೈ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಯು ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುವಲ್ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಯು ವಿಥೌಟ್ ಎನಿ ಹೆಸಿಟೇಷನ್ ವೈ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫೀಲ್ ಎನ್ವಿಯಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೀ ಸೊ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಟೆಲ್ ಯು ಬಟ್ ಐ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಟೆಲ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟು ಅದರ್ ಫೆಲೋಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇ ವಿಲ್ ಫೀಲ್ ಎನ್ವಿಯಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ವಾಸ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ವ್ಯಾಸಾಸನ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಅ ಟಾಕ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಮ್ ಸ್ಟಾಫ್ ರಿಪೋರ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ಕೇಮ್ ಟು ಇಂಟರ್ವ್ಯೂ ಹೆಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಮಾಸ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಸ್ವಾಮೀಜಿ ಎವ್ರಿ ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಡೌನ್ ವೈ ಡು ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಸಿಟ್ ಆನ್ ಸಚ್ ಎಲಿವೇಟೆಡ್ ಪ್ಲಾಟ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ವ್ಯಾಸಾಸನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾ ಅಂಡ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ರೆಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟಿಂಗ್ ವ್ಯಾಸದೇವ್ ಎನಿಬಡಿ ಹೂ ರೆಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ವ್ಯಾಸದೇವ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಅಲೋ ಟು ಸಿಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಸೊ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ರಿಪೋರ್ಟರ್ ಕೇಮ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ಯಾಟ್ ಡೌನ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ದ ಇಂಟರ್ವ್ಯೂ ದಟ್ ಫೆಲೋ ಇಮಿಡಿಯೇಟ್ಲಿ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ಸ್ವಾಮಿಜಿ ವೈ ಯು ಆರ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಡೌನ್ ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಎನ್ವಿಯಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಸರ್ ಇಸ್ಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೊ ಇಫ್ ಐ ಸಿಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಯು ಲವ್ 100 ಕ್ವೆಶನ್ಸ್ ಸೊ ಬೆಟರ್ ಐ ಸಿಟ್ ಡೌನ್ ಈ ಸರ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ದ ಇಂಟರ್ವ್ಯೂ ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇ ಇಫ್ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಇಸ್ ಎನ್ವಿಯಸ್ ದೇ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಇಟ್ ಬಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಟೆಲಿಂಗ್ ದ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ಇಮ್ಯಾಜಿನ್ ಇಫ್ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಕಂಪನಿ CEO ಆರ್ ಎ ಓನರ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಕಂಪನಿ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಆಸ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಯು ಹಿಯರ್ ಈ ಸೇ ಆಮ್ ದ ಓನರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಕಂಪನಿ ನೋಬಡಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸೇ ವೈರ್ ಯು ಸೋ ಪ್ರೌಡ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ದ ಓನರ್ ಹೀ ಇಸ್ ದ ಓನರ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಸೇ ಈಸ್ ದ ಓನರ್ ವಾಟ್ ಡು ಯು ವಾಂಟ್ ದ ಓನರ್ ಟು ಟೆಲ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಟೆಲ್ ಯು ದಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಎ ಚಪ್ರಾಸಿ ಇನ್ ದ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಎ ವಾಚ್ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕಂಪನಿ ಈಸ್ ದ ಓನರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಕಂಪನಿ ಸೊ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಇಸ್ ಆಸ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಯು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಬೈ ದ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಗಾಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಟೆಲ್ ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ಬಟ್ ಮಾಯಾವಾದಿ ಇಸ್ ಅನ್ ಇಂಪರ್ಸನಲಿಸ್ ದೇ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಟು ಸೇ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ಸೊ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಟು ಸಮ್ಮನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಎನ್ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ರಿವೀಲ್ ವಿದೌಟ್ ಎನಿ ಹೆಸಿಟೇಷನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಸಟ್ಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಡೀಲಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬಿಹೇವಿಯರ್ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟುಡ್ ಈವನ್ ಬೈ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಲರ್ನೆಡ್ ಸಾನ್ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಟ್ ಸ್ಕಾಲರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಜ್ಞಾನೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಯೋಗೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಡ್ ಸಿವಿಯರ್ ಪೆನಾನ್ಸಸ್ ದೇ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಅನ್ಲೆಸ್ ದರ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಈವನ್ ಅ ಟ್ರೇಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಎನ್ವಿ ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಒನ್ ಎಪಿಸೋಡ್ ವೇರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಟೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಸತ್ಯಭಾಮ ವಿತ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಇನ್ ಗರುಡ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಹೆವನ್ಲಿ ಪ್ಲಾನೆಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ರಿಟರ್ನ್ ದ ಅದಿತಿಸ್ ಕುಂಡಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಅಂಬ್ರೆಲಾ ಆಫ್ ವರುಣ ಏನ ಸೊ ಆನ್ ದ ವೇ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ದ ಗಾರ್ಡನ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಂದ್ರ ಹಿ ಪ್ಲಕ್ಸ್ ಪಾರಿಜಾತ ಟ್ರೀ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಬ್ರಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಡೌನ್ ಸೊ ಅಟ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಸಚಿ ವೈಫ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಂದ್ರ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮೆನಿ ಅದರ್ ಡೆಮಿ ಗಾಡಸಸ್ ಸೊ ದೇ ಆಲ್ ಆರ್ ಟೆಲಿಂಗ್ ಇಂದ್ರ ದಟ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಸಿ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಯುವರ್ ಗಾರ್ಡನ್ ಯ ಪಾರಿಜಾತ ಪ್ಲಾಂಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಸ್ಟೋಲನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಂದ್ರ ಗೆಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ಬೂಸ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ದರ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟಿಗೇಷನ್ ದೆನ್ ಇಂದ್ರ ಸೇ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಸಿ ವೈಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಚ್ ವಾಟ್ ಐ ಡೂ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಕಲೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಡೆಮಿ ಗಾಡ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೇಜಸ್ ಅ ವಾರ್ ಅಗೇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೊ ಹಿ ಡಿಡ್ ಸೋ ಆನ್ ದ ಇನ್ಸ್ಪಿರೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ವೈಫ್ ಸಚಿ ಸೊ ದಾರ್ ಶುಕ್ದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಈಸ್ ಆಸ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ಎ ಬ್ರಿಲಿಯಂಟ್ ಕ್ವೆಶನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ದ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪೆಕ್ಡ್ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಂದ್ರ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪೆಕ್ಡ್ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ಆರ್ ಈಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪೆಕ್ಡ್ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ಸೊ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಆಸ್ಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ವೆಶನ್ ದೋಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಆಕ್ಸೆಸ್ ದ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ದೇ ವಿಲ್ ಟೆಲ್ ಯು ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಈಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪೆಕ್ಡ್ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ದೇ ವಿಲ್ ಟೆಲ್ ಯು ವೈ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹೀ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಪ್ಲಗ್ ದ ಪಾರಿಜಾತ ಟ್ರೀ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗೇವ್ ಹಿಸ್ ವೈಫ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಮಿಸ್ಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ವೈಫ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಬ್ಯಾರ್ ದ ಬ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಂದ್ರ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಅದರ್ ಡೆಮಿ ಗಾಡ್ಸ್ ನೇಮ್ ಎಸ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಮೋರ್ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹಿಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ನೆಸ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿ ಶೋಡ್ ವಿಶ್ವರೂಪ ದರ್ಶನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ದೇ ನೋ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಮೋರ್ ದೇ ಮೇ ಸೇ ಐ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಪ್ರಭು ಬೋತ್ ಆರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪ್ಯಾಕ್ಡ್ ಐ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪ್ಯಾಕ್ಡ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ ಟು ಸತ್ಯಭಾಮ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಂದ್ರ ಇಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪ್ಯಾಕ್ಡ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಈ ಈಸ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಸೋ ಆನ್ ದ ಆರ್ಡರ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಚಿ ಸೊ ಬೋತ್ ಆಫ್ ಫೆಲೋಸ್ ಆರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪ್ಯಾಕ್ಡ್ ಸೊ ಶುಕ್ದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಇಂದ್ರ ಇಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಪ್ಯಾಕ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಈ ಸೇಸ್ ವೈ ಈ ಸೇಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಟ್ ಮೇಕ್ಸ್ ನೋ ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಸ್ ವೆದರ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸತ್ಯಭಾಮ ವೆದರ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಗರುಡ ವೆದರ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಎನಿ ಕೌ ಆರ್ ಎ ಡಿಯರ್ ಆರ್ ಅ ಮಂಕಿ ಹೂ ಎವರ್ ಇಟ್ ಬಿ ಎನಿ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಸರ್ವ್ಸ್ ಹಿಮ್ ವಿತ್ ಲವ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ರೆಂಡರ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹೀ ರೆಸ್ಪ್ರಿಕೇಟ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ದಮ್ ಇರ್ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟಿವ್ ಆಫ್ ಹೂ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಲವ್ ಸತ್ಯಭಾಮ ಫಾರ್ ಹರ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಆಟಿಟ್ಯೂಡ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ ಟು ಹರ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಶಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಹಿಸ್ ವೈಫ್ Like that he says. So Krishna is not henpecked. And besides that, Krishna is the owner of Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. All the Parijata trees and all the planetary systems belong to Krishna only. So on the other hand, Indra is henpecked because, you know, already Indra has learned so many lessons before on who is the owner, true owner of the world. Still you find Indra chasing after Krishna on the instigation of his wife. So in this way, when we read the pastimes, the pastime is same, the Sanskrit words are same, but different people will be able to access different depths of meaning. And like in the beginning of Krishna book, Prabhupada writes, and there are bubukshus, and jivan muktas. Bubukshu means one who wants to enjoy the material world. It's called bubukshu. And one who wants to get liberated from this world, one who is struggling to be liberated, is called mumukshu. And jivan mukta means one who is already liberated and living like a coconut, you know, the copra coconut, you know. It has withdrawn inside from a coconut shell. So it has no connection to coconut. If you see, it's separated. So those are called jivan muktas. They are free from, you know, the conditionings in this world. So Prabhupada says Bhagavatam is meant for all the three, he says. But although it is meant for all three of them will not be able to access the actual depth of the truth mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Because the bubukshu people, when they hear Krishna dancing with the gopis, or when Krishna is performing childhood pastimes, you can see certain Bhagavat Saptahas and all when they do, the speaker can make the audience laugh and cry and do everything. They do that. And people, so how are people able to get influenced? Have they developed such a high Vasudeva Katha Ruchi? This is not Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. This is only mental Ruchi only. Only mind is involved. The soul is not involved. Because in this world, even a child doing some pranks is very attractive. Or the relationship between a boy and a girl shown as a romance in a movie attracts so many people. So a bubukshu, a sense enjoyer may see, you know, Radha Krishna and the gopis Leela. So in Vrindavan, when Prabhupada would be walking, somebody would say, Radhe, Radhe. They would say, Prabhupada would say, Hare Krishna. Again, after some distance, Radhe, Radhe, Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada told his Western disciples, if anybody says Radhe, Radhe, I say Hare Krishna. Why? Because these people, many people, have taken Radharani to be so cheap, as if she is some barber's wife, Prabhupada said. Just like in some village or some place, if there's a barber's wife, Radha, and somebody can have an affair with her, people think of Radharani like that. So Prabhupada said, we don't want people to become sahajayik and cheap. Hare Krishna, you would say like that, Prabhupada always. So in this way, one should know that Krishna doesn't give access. Ultimately, access giver is Krishna only. When he is pleased with the sincerity of the devotee, then he gives access. And he allows the devotee to venture into different levels of depths of understanding of Krishna. Just as the sun reveals itself through its own light, similarly Krishna also is called as Atma Pradeep. Nama Atma Pradeepaya Sakshine Paramatmane Namo Giram Viduraya Manasaschetasam Api. So this is a verse by Gajendra. We cannot search for the sun in the night with a torch light or candle light or anything. But the early morning when sun rises, it reveals itself. Similarly, ignorant conditioned soul is like the darkest of the night. He has no access to Krishna at all. Completely blocked. Vision is blocked. Like he says, Naham Prakash Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrata, he says. But then as one becomes a neophyte devotee, and then gradually a progressive devotee, then Krishna gives access like the rising sun in the morning. He gives more and more access. So the mumukshus are those who are struggling to be liberated. They will get more access to Krishna in the scriptures. When they study, they will see that, oh, you know, I am suffering in this world because I am struggling for sense gratification. So please, Krishna, help me to call your name better. Help me to surrender to you better. Let me love you. Let me serve you. Let me become sincere. Let me become free from sense gratification. So they struggle a lot, the sadhana bhaktas, those who are mumukshu. And the jivan muktas are liberated souls. So when they hear Krishna Katha, they simply delight and relish in it like a swan. Huh? Like a swan in a lake. Like that beautiful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is one verse which describes this very beautifully. The Adilila only. Krishnot kirtana gana nartana kalapato jani brajita sadbhaktavali hamsa chakramadupashrenim viharaspadam karnanandikaladvani vahatume cheta jihuamaru prangane shri chaitanya dayani de tavalasat lila katha swardhuni. You see, in this verse, our Kaviraj Goswami is praying for the Lord's mercy, Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Sri Chaitanya Dayanide, he is saying. So Lord Chaitanya is an ocean of mercy, and let him empower me, let him give me the strength to speak this literature. And then he says that Jihva Maru Prangane, my Jihva is like a desert, he says. But the Lord's Katha is like Akash Ganga, which is like coming like a waterfall. It's, you know, foaming and very beautifully flowing. That is Krishna Katha, it's Leela Katha, he says. So when that Katha is flowing, you know, lotuses grow out of it. So what is the lotus? The form of the Lord. And the fragrance of the lotus, the beauty of the lotus. So all those things are compared to Lord's form, qualities, pastimes and all. So when the Ganga flows, and then immediately seeing the lotuses and lilies growing in the river, and the swans come, and they are compared to whom? The devotees. And then amongst devotees also, some humming bumblebees come. They are called as Rasika Bhaktas, because they directly taste the honey. The swans, of course, swans also intertwine their necks along with the stem, and they're smelling the fragrance and liking the lotus. But the honeybees directly come to the rasa. Huh? They drink the rasa of the Lord's Katha. So like this, he is making a beautiful comparison in the Chaitanya Charitamrita beginning. So whatever access that we cannot get, pure devotees can get. So we can also relish the rasa by hearing from the pure devotees. Pure devotee acharyas like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. When they open the doors to deeper realization, then we can understand. So, Jivan Muktas are offered the most access. And they relish the pastimes from a spiritual point of view. Unlike the Bubukshus who are relishing pastimes from a mundane point of view. Isn't it? So, in this way, the reason why I was speaking all these things right now in the beginning, this introduction, why I was speaking, because the Brahmanas, the four Chatushkumaras, when they heard Lord Vishnu's talk, although it was a very pleasing speech, it sounded very mystical. It was not very clear. For example, you know, once when Advaitacharya Prabhu was approached by Vallabhacharya. So he told him that I have written a commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam, which is better than Sridhar Swami's commentary or something like that. So Advaita Acharya told him that you should go to the that person who is the source of all religious principles. Who is that? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should go to him. He is the embodiment of all religious principles and all Sadachara also. You should go to him and tell him this. Why do you come to people like us? He said. And of course, he tried speaking to Nityananda and you know, others. But nobody seemed to be so interested. So he went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Vajradapi Kathoram, Kusumadapi Komalam. So Mahaprabhu's behavior is also sometimes very mystical. Sometimes like a thunderbolt, he will speak on the face. Exactly. Sometimes he will be internally angry. Sorry, internally pleased, externally angry in certain cases. When Nityananda Prabhu didn't stay in Bangladesh but came to Ratayatra, Mahaprabhu was internally pleased, externally angry. Sometimes Mahaprabhu will be internally angry, externally behaving like pleased also. So it would be very difficult. Not anybody can decode easily. But in this particular instance, Mahaprabhu, when he heard it, he directly told him on the face, anyone who does not follow in the footsteps of Swami is a prostitute. So hearing that, Vallabha was shattered. So he said, Hamsamadhyaya Bakoyata. He felt himself like a duck in between the swans. Because the duck, if you see, duck, if you in the pond and all, you will see duck. It can come to the shore or it can be in the pond. But just go, keeps going round, buck, 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 making sound like this. It keeps going. It never flies. Whereas a swan silently flies up. And only few wings it will flap, 2-3 times. And then go for miles together. And then it will flap a few times, that's all. Which goes to show the steadiness of the swan. And the ability of the swan to rise to very great heights also. So that represents the Vaishnavas. So he said, Hamsa Madhye Bakoyata. He said, I feel like a duck amongst swans. He felt like that. So he felt very inferior, you see. So later on, Mahaprabhu observed that he has got hurt because nobody heard him, and I have also spoken a bit strongly. So then next day when he came, Mahaprabhu told him, Vallabhacharya, you are a great devotee of Krishna and you are such a learned pandita also. You cannot commit such mistakes as writing a commentary opposite to Sridhara Swami's commentary. I cannot believe it. You may say that, but I don't believe it. You, a person of your caliber cannot do that. It's not possible, he said. You have to be aligned with Sridhara Swami only. And then he told him, now you go home, and if you edit your commentary and bring it tomorrow, if I am pleased with it, then I will come to your home for eating prasadam. Either Mahaprabhu said. And then now he got some hope, Vallabhacharya. He got some way by which he could please Mahaprabhu. So immediately he went back, and then he aligned his commentary with Sridhara Swami, and he brought it back, and Mahaprabhu went to his home and took prasad. So here is an example of how Mahaprabhu praised him to pacify him. Sometimes you can praise somebody to pacify somebody. If somebody is upset, imagine for example, sometimes one devotee's output is another devotee's input. Correct, no? In some services, it's like that. For example, the grocery people have to bring grocery to kitchen, and then only the subject getting people can cut, isn't it? Unless the subject getting people cut, the subject cannot be cooked. Unless the subject is cooked, prasadam cannot be served. Correct, no? So they all are connected services. So whenever services are connected, sometimes one devotee has done the service, whereas one fellow in between has become little lazy, because of which the link between the services gets affected. Correct, no? So then people sometimes may yell at a person who has already completed his part. And then he will also yell back, saying that I have done my part, the person next to me has not done. You don't understand, correct, no? Things like that happen. So whenever a person is overthrown by anger, one of the ways to easily pacify him, there are two ways to pacify him. The first way is immediately agree whatever he says. Yes, yes, Prabhu, Jobala correcta. There is no mistake in what you said. Perfect. Now we understand what you are saying. And you never do wrong. You are a great soul. You know, till date we have never seen you committing any mistake. That is why internally I was already convinced that you would not have committed mistake. But somebody else has foolishly thought that you have committed mistake. And then he will say, yes, now you correctly understand me. Correct, no? And then you also see empathically and tell him that, you know, I know that you did your part and the person next to you didn't do his part and everything. Correct, no? And in case we don't speak like that, if we don't praise him, then the problem becomes compounded. If he shouts and you also shout, and that is how the people in the bus and train and all have big fights. Because they shout and beat one another without understanding what happened. Correct, no? They catch collar, they give slap, they beat. And then a person who has not done anything, he gets a beating sometimes. Correct, no? Because when people are overthrown by anger, they lose control. Correct, no? So the Supreme Lord, who is the personification of Vishuddha Sattva, what good qualities cannot be found in him? He is the ocean of compassion. is the ocean of peace, is the ocean of maturity, is the ocean of love. So, being such a personality, the Supreme Lord exactly knows when to behave, how to behave. So, when the Lord saw the Kumaras were overthrown by anger, and so the Lord came there, and immediately the Lord praised them. He praised the Brahmanas, which was not wrong. Actually, the Brahmanas are glorified in the Shastras and other places. Last time when I spoke the Bhagavatam class, after that one of the devotees met me personally and said, Prabhuji, after hearing you say what you said in the class, that Lord was just to pacify the Brahmanas, he was glorifying them. Actually, he was upset with them. He said, I got frightened. He said, why? I asked. He said, this makes me doubt Lord's integrity. Because integrity means to say what you feel and not just artificially pretend something externally. Then I told him, sometimes the mother wants to give medicine to a child. A child may say, Mom, why are you cheating me by showing a lollipop? Why don't you give medicine in a straightforward manner? Can the mother give a bitter medicine in a straightforward manner? Is it possible? Will any child accept it? So mother gives a lollipop for some time. And then the child is happy. Then mother feeds the medicine also. Correct, no? So ultimately the mother is interested in the welfare of the child. If the child's disease has to be cured, the medicine has to go in. And for the medicine has to go in, mother may have to do a drama if necessary. But not all children are good children that they will accept the medicine. So the medicine has to be packaged. That is why in many medical shops also they have a sugar coating for a pill. So some doctors used to tell that, you know, don't bite the medicine. Only put the medicine, you can chew it for some time and eat it. As you bite it, the bitter one will come. Correct, no? Better portion. So in the same manner, if the Lord came in front of Brahmanas and said what he actually intended to say, it would not have been received the way it is being received now. That is why the Lord did not tell the Brahmanas directly. Now, subsequently to this verse, here you see what they are saying. We are unable to know what you intend for us to do. So what the Kumaras thought, it seems to us that the Lord is joking with us. He actually is angry with us, but sometimes in anger also we sarcastically joke about somebody. Correct, no? Correct, no? Actually, generally, when you become sarcastic, when you want to show little extra anger. So, because sarcasm is far more powerful than straight anger. Straight anger is not that effective. Sarcasm is even more powerful when you say. Like if somebody, you tell somebody to bring something on time. So you say you have to go for a flight and 12 o'clock you have to leave. And he comes running at 12:15. You know. And then he says, Prabhuji, sorry Prabhuji, you know, I generally don't get late today. He did this, he says, you know. Yeah, you have never given excuses, Prabhu. Always you have been punctual, more than punctual. No, I know it very well. So what is the meaning of that? You understand what I am saying, no? So speaking like, or sometimes people may even, call some most ideal case as an example. For example, you know, in every field there is somebody who is an expert. Like imagine, for example, somebody committed a mistake, somebody is foolishly acting, you call him an Einstein, how it will be. I know, Prabhu, you are very intelligent like Einstein. So in this way, they may, when you use sarcasm, people also understand it gives an extra pinch to them. One pinch when they hear it and one pinch little later when they understood that it is sarcasm. Like that. So, in this way, now Kumaras also made a guess. They thought that Lord is joking. So, in subsequent verses, they are going to say what they felt the Lord is joking. So, they were saying that, my dear Lord, the absolute truth is nirapeksha satya, whereas the jivatma is sapeksha satya. Nirapeksha means the Lord's existence doesn't depend on anything else. He exists, that's all. Whereas our existence depends on his existence. Just like the sun, particles of sun rays, they can only exist when there is sun. Without the sun, can they have existence? No. So we are like the particles of sun, jivas. And the Lord is like the sun. So without His existence, we have no existence. Like that they told that we are Brahmanas, you know, we are all born from your limbs only. Correct, no? Mukabhagurupadebhya purushasya ashramai saha chatvaro jagnire varna gunair vipradaya pratak yesham paramam sakshat atma prabhavam ishwaram nabajanti avajananti sthanat brashtaha patantyadaha. So this verse says that ashram, varna and ashramas, they are all born from the Lord's Virat Purusha, correct, no? The Lord's form only. From His head comes the Brahmanas, Mukha, Bahu, Uru, Padebhya. From all these different places, the Varnas and Ashramas are born. So you only made us Brahmanas, and the status that you have given us, that status is given by you only for us. You have appointed us as Brahmanas, and you have given us the respect, and you have made the public respect us so that they can stick to the Brahminical culture and go back to Godhead. So it is arranged by you. Otherwise, we Brahmanas, we don't have, in and of ourselves, you know, we don't have any substance for people to respect us. Shabda Brahma emanates from you. So we have taken it from you and we have studied it. And by studying and living according to Shabda Brahma, we may develop some qualities. And you have empowered us in such a manner that we are respected by all. Otherwise, we ourselves don't own anything. And how do you say that our dust you place on your head, and then because of which your importance increases? This is bewildering to us, they were saying. Similarly, you are saying that, you know, Lakshmi is after you because you have taken our dust on your head. But we know very well Lakshmi always sits at your lotus feet and serves you. Although she is after you, you are not after her. You are always Atmaram and you are self-satisfied. So, in fact, all the jivas in this world are after Lakshmi's glance, Karunya Kataksh, like Lakshmi Kataksh. Let Lakshmi glance on us and our samriddhi, prosperity will increase. So everyone in this world is dependent on her, for her glance. And she is dependent on you. And how can you say that you are dependent on anyone? You are not depending on any mercy of anyone. That is also impossible, they were saying. So like this, one by one, they will knock out all the points spoken by the Lord now, in the subsequent verses. After saying all these things, they will say, actually, my dear Lord, you know, we are only Brahmanas who represent the Varnashrama Dharma. Whereas when we say Dharma, Dharma means love of Godhead. And that Dharma is protected by your Vaishnava devotees, who are comparatively superior to those in the Varnashrama order. So Vaishnavas are superior to Brahmanas, and they are very close to your heart. But how can you say that you take our dust on your head? Like this, they are making many arguments. And these arguments are really intelligent arguments. Because the Lord showed them respect, they have cooled down. And with a cool head, they are contemplating and thinking. And what they are saying is actually true. Lord is actually supremely independent, is Swarat. And all jivas, including Brahmanas, are dependent on Him. That is a fact. And at the same time, it is also a fact that if a Brahmana follows the 12 qualities of a Brahmana and he is a devotee of the Lord, then Lord also respects the Brahmana very much. And that is not a joke or an exaggeration. But if a Brahmana is corrupt, but he is only Namke Vaste Brahmana, then Lord is not pleased with him. Now, these are jnanis who are very famous for having an undisturbed mind. And they are never agitated by anger or lust or greed. They are supposed to have conquered these lower urges. And they are supposed to have defeated them. Vijita Shadguna. They are supposed to be on that platform. But they became agitated by anger, by the word, by Jai Vijay stopping them. And they spelled out a curse which was actually not pleasing to the Lord in one sense. So the Lord gave them extra respect at this time to help them bring their head between their shoulders. So bringing the head between our shoulder means sometimes we think ourselves so high, our head is in the clouds, we boast about ourselves, we brag about ourselves, we think very high of ourselves, and we think I have a halo on my head, and we have, because we achieve some success, and it may, so in South India they call it as a head weight, they call it. Head weight ho gaya usko. Head weight means what? Proud. So then such a person, you know, he is in sort of blindness. To bring him to his senses, the Lord also showed his sweetness, his beauty, and then he also appreciated them, glorified them, and then they came to their senses, and when they spoke like this, in the last verse they will say, oh my dear Lord, actually we don't know whether, and they also conjectured that maybe, you know, what you are saying is true also. What you are saying, why? You are, it's not true. What you are saying, maybe because you want to encourage us Brahmanas, because we represent the Brahminical culture. For that you want to pamper us a little bit and encourage us. That is also possible. Maybe you are favorable to us also. Or you are unfavorable to us and you are joking about us like this. And actually your intention is to punish us. That is also possible. We don't know which one of the two is true, they said. We don't know. And then they said you know, now you may decide what you wish to give us. You can give us punishment if you feel. Whatever curse that we gave to Jai Vijay, let that curse go to Rasatala, they said. That means they took back the curse, they said. And then your devotees, Jai Vijay, are faultless. So you can save them from gliding down if you wish so. So we leave the whole thing to you. Now, the way you want to deal with them and deal with me, we leave it to you. Like that, they surrendered to Lord. At that time, Lord Vishnu told them that, oh, Kumaras, actually, the curse that you gave to my devotees, this Jai Vijay, was appropriate, and that was ordained by my will, he said. Neither are you faulty, nor are they faulty. And the Lord said, actually, my devotees, Jai Vijay, heart of hearts, they prayed, oh, my dear Supreme Lord, you know, if everyone else is weak to fight with you, and there is no one competent to fight with you, and you feel that you deem us fit, that we may be able to fight and give you the pleasure of fighting, for giving you the pleasure, we are ready to glide down to material world and become asuras. We don't mind. Because to give you a momentary bliss, extra bliss in fighting, we are ready to suffer for millions of lives also. Like that, my devotees expressed their desire in their heart. So seeing their desire, and I wanted to take advantage of their desire so that I can enjoy the fighting. So for that, I arranged for this kind of curse to be given through you. So like that, the Lord told them, told the Kumaras. So, and then he told Jai Vijay, they both are faultless. They both are, their bodies are completely pure Vishuddha Sattva platform. They never became angry with you of their own accord. They became angry with you on my behalf, impelled by my desire. They became angry with you. So in this way, Lord proved Jai Vijay to be faultless. And he only impelled the desire. And then Lord said, don't worry about your anger also, that you have become agitated by anger. Your anger has caused you the humility. And then the Lord said, it was my desire only, the Lord said. But one important thing to note is, you know, when the Lord performs these type of pastimes, multiple lessons are taught, multiple lessons emerge. The nature of Jai Vijay type of devotees, the nature of Brahmanas, how the Vaishnavas are superior to Brahmanas, and how the Lord, in a gentlemanly way, dealt with Kumaras and attracted their humility. In this world also, you will see, if somebody is angry, you bring your tone down and you become very polite. Immediately they change. Like our Gauranga Prabhu was telling, in the Kumbh Mela in those days, one of the years they had gone for Kumbh Mela. Kumbh Mela, I don't know, that was Kumbh Mela Ratayatra somewhere he was in. Ratayatra in some place. So they had made a huge pandal without permission. Devotees had made little extra place they had taken and made a pandal. So the group of policemen came and they became very angry. You know, we have been asked, how you aplo kaise se banaya pandal itna bada banaya, They are very angry. So some devotees are also upset. Why the policemen are upset? Ganapati told them, keep quiet, because we have only extended more than what we are allowed to. So now we are on a weaker side, so we should be careful. So one very humble devotee was sent in the front. And he went and gave them some rabadi or something, prasadam. So then the policeman accepted the rabadi and it was so good. Then he was telling, theek hai aap logon ko rath yatra mana sakte hain lekin permission lekar karna chahiye aapko, theek hai na? Idhar hi sir, aur kuch prasad hai kya? Their whole tone changed after prasadam went inside. He was telling. So in this way, you will see, by dealing with people politely, they also become polite. Generally, like we say, na do haathon se taali bajta hai, na one heart wants to make a sound, the other heart goes away, there is no sound. So that's what Lord Vishnu did. Lord Vishnu, it's very, natural for Lord Vishnu, because when Bhrigumuni kicked him on his chest, how he behaved, and now he is behaving like this. And he is teaching the world also the true glory of Brahmanas also, how the Lord sees it. In one sense it is not false, in another sense it's false also. Lord is doing both. For those who want to learn lessons how to respect Brahmanas, Lord is teaching also. And for those Brahmanas who are proud of their Brahmanatva, Lord is joking about them also. It's both ways it is true. And today is the day when Prabhupada boarded the Jaladuta. It's a very auspicious day. So I want to say a few words about it, about the pre-Jaladuta period, before Prabhupada boarded the Jaladuta. You see, when Srila Prabhupada went to Radha Damodar, at one point of time he saw that the works of Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, all these Goswamis, the records and everything was all gradually getting deteriorated. So Prabhupada was very worried. Gaudiya Math took the charge of publishing and printing some of those literature, but they could not do so much. See, without some rich person patronizing these activities, it's very difficult to print all of them. So Gaudiya Math was also not able to do much. So Prabhupada was thinking that how this wisdom of Brahma Mada Gaudiya Sampradaya can be taken all around. So at that time Prabhupada made up his mind that I will write. So some of his god brothers asked him, why do you have to write? Already Goswamis have written. You just publish it. Either you publish it in Sanskrit, or you publish it in Sanskrit and Hindi and English translation. That should be good enough. But Prabhupada was not satisfied. Prabhupada wanted to write purport himself, because he said, my spiritual master has ordered me to write and preach these things in English language. And thanks to Prabhupada, because if Prabhupada didn't write his purports, which are like baby steps to the Acharya's purports, like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur or Sridhara Swami and all, nobody can directly go to those purports. His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj, in one of his articles, mentions that Prabhupada purports are like a Ratnagarbha, he says. Ratnagarbha means ocean. Why a ocean? If somebody is swimming in the surface of ocean, he will get only fishes. But somebody goes deep, he will get Navaratnas. Similarly, Prabhupada purports, if you are superficially reading, you will only think, Prabhupada says, same thing he's saying again and again, you will feel like that. But if you go deeper, then you will get gem-like points from Prabhupada purports. And that experience many Vidyapitam devotees will have, when we memorize some of the salient points of Prabhupada purport. Such amazing statements, very deep. They are worth cramming and contemplating and reflecting in our own lives, and to repeat to others also. So we can get we can get all those Navaratnas out, he says. Another thing he says about Prabhupada's purport, he says, Prabhupada used English words which are understandable by Western people. Like, we say kirit or mukut. So Prabhupada used the word helmet for them. Correct, no? It's understood in the Western world. Similarly, the Shastra used the word chariot. So Prabhupada used the word car. Car and the driver. Correct, no? So Shastra say that, Brahma is the original Prajapati and he does the Visarga. And Prabhupada called him engineer. Brahma is the first engineer of the universe. Correct, no? So you will see Prabhupada makes it very easy for the Western people to understand, you know, what is said in the scriptures in a very lucid language. And also, while making, there is one video clip which will show how Prabhupada made these commentaries, how he wrote this commentary. There is one video which shows. So he's got 10, 12 books all around him on his table. There is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Devabhushan. He's got different. So Sridhara Swami, everything he has put all around himself. And then he will read this. He has read already all these things. And then he knows which point of Chakravarti Thakur we can put here. Like that he will take and put, collect. And he will not put it as it is also. He will take it and make it like a, you know, like a Cerelac baby or a Farex baby. You make it like a pre-digested food, no? He will make it more simpler and give. Because he knows very well, you know, people, Kali Yuga brains cannot understand. And also, in Prabhupada's purpose, one vishesh is, he will say the same thing two, three ways differently. For example, he will say, you see, we are not these bodies, we are spirit souls. And then he will say, the spirit soul doesn't die, whereas the body dies. And then he will say, this body is like a dress for the soul, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So you will say this soul and body thing, he will explain in half a page or one page. Whereas if you see the many of the Vedic writings, the truths are very heavy and very thick, and they are not repeated also. They are told only once. Even Chakravarti Thakur, to understand, we have to break our head many times. Even this discussion between Lord Vishnu and Kumaras, I read it several times. And whatever understanding I told you now, I have been reading several times, repeatedly contemplating, and then only we understand. Otherwise, it's often difficult, Acharya's commentary. But Prabhupada's commentary, even a child can understand. You will see that he has made it very easy for us to grasp. And also, he has only given what is necessary to stabilize us in our Krishna consciousness. That he has given. And then in his own books, he has given references. Go to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and read the Krishna Bhavanamritam. Read Krishna Karanamrit. Like that he gives direction. There cannot be anyone such a beautiful guide for any Vaishnava. He is giving such a nice purports, and he is not telling people, you should not go beyond my purports. He is also giving indication, direction. Now you have read my purports, now you go to the Acharya's purports. He is giving direction also. So, Prabhupada wrote his commentaries like this, and then he realized, writing is not all. Next to writing, the publishing is a very difficult task. So how to publish all this literature? See, he planned to write 60-volume Bhagavatam. So first he thought that I will make 3 volumes, volume 1, 2, 3, and take it to America. But for publishing one volume, he needed 7,000 rupees in those days. So where will he go for 7,000 rupees? In those days, his business had a flop, and he had only almost like, you know, at one time his bank balance was like 130 rupees only. Where will he go for 7,000 rupees? So as he was looking for who can publish my book, then he saw there was one Mr. Sharma, Samhit Sharan Sharma. So this fellow was an assistant to, secretary to Dalmiaji. Dalmia is a very big industrialist. And if he wants, he can give money. But the secretary told him, you know, he will not give money. Even if I recommend your name, he will not give very easily. He's a religious man, pious man. Maybe if you go to Hanuman Prasad Poddar, and then if he recommends, then you may get the money. But the Hanuman Prasad Poddar was in Gorakhpur. So Prabhupada has to go and meet him. It's 470 kilometers or so. Then Prabhupada thought, I have to go from Delhi to Lucknow. So when Prabhupada went from Delhi to Lucknow, out of the 130 rupees, he was only left with some 57 rupees. Then he spent another 600 rupees to go to Gorakhpur. In this way, he would count and spend money. He had very little money in those days. And then when he went to Hanuman Prasad Poddar, who went through his manuscript and was deeply impressed, he said, this is a laudable work. Nobody has done such a work like this, translating the Bhagavatam into such nice word-to-word translation and purports like this. He recommended that this has to be supported. Then immediately he got 4,000 rupees donation. Now he has 4,000 and then 3,000 he needs more. And the printer is saying that you have to bring 7,000. Where will he go? Then he went to people here, there and collected some donations. That was only 200-300 rupees. He was not able to collect big money. Then in India, there is a system. If you print a book, you know, you can keep it all in the printing press and you take some copies and you sell it and then you can pay back. You can rotate the money like that. That is allowed. So one printer allowed that. Then Prabhupada did that. Then he got the first volume printed and then he would take the volumes out. And he was trying to sell it in many places one-to-one, but it was becoming very difficult. But there was one Ministry of Education to which Prabhupada sent his copy. And they were very impressed. So they took some, you know, 30-40 sets they were ready to take. Similarly, and after they took it and they gave a recommendation, many other educational institutions also agreed to take for Prabhupada some volumes. Then Prabhupada was like, now he was a writer, he was a publisher, and he was a salesman also. He has to sell also. And Prabhupada saw, if I get into salesman's role, my writing will not go on. All the three I cannot do. Then how can I manage? There was no one to help him. So then he would go to that. He understood that the best place to write is Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. He loved that place because there is vibration of the Goswamis there. And there are many samadhis of Vaishnavas there. So he thought, what can be a better place than receiving the blessings of Acharyas and writing these commentaries? But the problem is you can't publish in Vrindavan. Father, you have to go to Delhi. So Prabhupada had one leg in Vrindavan, one leg in Delhi. So in Chippiwada temple, he had a small place. So there he would go and gather all the work. And he had to look into publishing. Like, you know, he wanted to, when the first volume was printed and it came out, he saw the typeset was very, very small. He said, minimum it should be 12 size. So then that printing press didn't have 12 size. Then he had to take it to another printing press. This kind of hard work he had to do. So then in this way he could bring out the volume 1 and volume 2 when he was struggling. Then he was trying to find out. He would go and meet many big people. He met people like Lal Bahadur Shastri and gifted him. Once he met Sumati Murarji also, who showed some interest. So when he gave her, then he thought, maybe I can ask her. So she, on her own, she asked, Swamiji, can you come and read Srimad Bhagavatam for me in the evening? So in the garden, Prabhupada would every day read about 20-30 days he did for her. She would recite a shloka and then he would give one, it's like one class for her, only one man class. He gave for her. And then Prabhupada told, you see, I also want to publish these books. I need some money. Then she agreed to give also, she agreed to sponsor the second volume. She sponsored the whole second volume. And that's how he brought out the second volume. Now he thought how to bring the third one. Again, he was going from one person to another person, meeting many people and collecting from various places. So in this way, his publishing took a toll. Tremendous energy of Prabhupada. And selling also was very challenging. And he was observing that the Indians, you know, they are stooped in materialism and they are becoming disinterested on one hand. On the other hand, Prabhupada was thinking that in India, Prabhupada called India as an elephant, dead elephant he called. Why? Because in Tamil we have a saying, Yanai irundalum pon, irundalum ayiram pon, irundalum ayiram pon, which means if an elephant survives, it is worth 1,000 gold coins. If it dies, it is again worth 1,000 gold coins because of this tusk. So Prabhupada said, India is like that only, he said. Why? Because he said, although, you know, Mughals invaded and then British invaded, still the culture in India is not lost. The remnants are still very much present. Prabhupada said, you can see the people going to the temples, bowing down to the Lord. People still reading the literature and still having respect for the saintly persons. And then Prabhupada was thinking, my guru has told me to go to America. At least in India, if I show this Bhagavatam, some people can recognize and understand. They may, whether they read or not, at least they may take pity on a sadhu selling and they may buy also. But in America, people don't even know what this is. They don't know Krishna. Here in India, dharmashalas are there, chatrams are there. You know, any sadhu can go and stay. Even today, you will see, all over India, there are all the holy places you find chatrams. You find they give free food, free accommodation, and it's always full. You will find many, many people come. And Prabhupada thought that if I am a monk, I have to travel place to place. I can stay. People will give me facility anywhere. But in America, I don't know anybody. And also, people speak American English in a different accent. Will they understand my accent? I speak Bengali. My English is highly accented by Bengali. So I am going to a place where people speak a new language. I mean, people are new and the place is new and I have nobody known there. So Prabhupada says himself, I was a little fearful. But then when I looked at my trunk filled with Srimad Bhagavatam sets, I again developed confidence that the Bhagavatam will do the job, like that. And then in Sumati Maharaj's, when before meeting and getting acquainted with her, Prabhupada had to work very hard. 5 hours he was sitting in the office. One of her secretaries, Chauksi, used to watch. So when Sumati Maharaj came out, the secretary told her, Madam, this old man is waiting last 5 hours. Then she met and then Prabhupada eventually got introduced to her. And then he wanted to go to America and she was asking, Swamiji, what will you do by going to America? You want to enjoy in America? He Prabhupada said, I am an old man, what can I enjoy? I am already touching 70. 69, he was 69. So that the year in which he went to America, he was 69 actually. The first Janmashtami which he celebrated, in Boston Harbor. So that was Prabhupada's 69th birthday following the Janmashtami. So Prabhupada said, I am an old man, what will I enjoy in America? But I want to fulfill the desire of my spiritual master. He wanted to spread this knowledge in English language. So she said, you are so old, you may die. On the way you may die or you may die there. Why don't you peacefully stay in Vrindavan? Because in those days, people, whether people are widows or whether people are sadhus, saintly people who take shelter of Govardhan, take shelter of Dham and want to leave their body peacefully in Dham, chanting the holy name. So people wouldn't go out very easily. But Prabhupada was thinking to himself that actually I don't want to experience the comfortable life in Vrindavan and allow the world to go to hell. Rather, following the order of my spiritual master, I will go to America and take whatever sufferings I have to endure there in order to preach this message, adopting the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. So he was determined, at any cost I have to go. In fact, if you read a Leelamrita, you will see the printing press people, they tell how much urgency Prabhupada showed. So they were surprised, he's an old man, but he is having energy more than a young boy to get them all printed. So when the books came out one by one, volume one, volume two came, on one hand, Prabhupada was attacked by lack of monetary support and his old age and sometimes sickness. But seeing the Bhagavatam volumes coming out, that gave him internal inspiration and pleasure and great strength that my guru told me to print books. I have printed books. Now I'll go and distribute it. So he got the strength. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the sufferings that come in my way of executing your devotional service are all pleasure. What is that verse? Seva? Tomara sevaya? Dukkha habetu? Saito parama sukha, he says. It is a parama. That's how Prabhupada considered also. All those difficulties. And there was one small boy, when Prabhupada was in Chippewada, he would help Prabhupada. Prabhupada would type the manuscript, write it, and then he would go and deliver it to the printing press and he would bring from there. So he would offer little help to Prabhupada, running back and forth like that. When he is not available, sometimes Prabhupada has to go. Sometimes Prabhupada would go to the paper shop and buy paper, but he would only buy 2 reams or so. But the paper wholesale dealers would think that this is not a big business, this is a small business for them. So he would personally choose the papers. And he would put it in a hand cart and he would arrange to bring it. So some people would watch Prabhupada strangely. This is a Swamiji. He is entering banks. He is doing business of selling books. He is printing and publishing. Then Prabhupada wrote an article, Working for Maya and Working for Krishna. Prabhupada wrote in that article saying that some people think, what is the sannyasi doing with money and book sale and everything as if he is selfish for making money for his own savings and for his sense gratification. But little do these people know, Krishna's devotee like Arjuna or Hanuman, they work very hard for the Lord's pleasure. And not even an iota of their earning, they want to use it for their personal enjoyment. It's all completely yajna, meant for the Lord's pleasure. So Prabhupada has distinguished between working for Krishna and working for Maya. So while selling back to Godhead, somebody would say, I have no time. Then Prabhupada would go back and write an article. No time disease. He would write an article. Once somebody said, devotees are crazy. So Prabhupada wrote an article. Who is crazy? So wherever he got some clue what people are thinking, he would make an article about that, which clearly goes to show Prabhupada was a man who wanted to be very down-to-earth, practical in reaching Krishna consciousness to the common people. He was not satisfied hovering in the clouds, only studying the commentaries of acharyas and satisfied with that. He wanted to make it available for the common man. Whatever arguments common man will give, Prabhupada would want to present a Vedic argument, Vedic observer. This is why in our movement you find so many youngsters. Because generally in any religious organization you find the old women and small children, both of whom need no logic. You know, as in our movement, so many educated people you find, we have doctorates and scientists and all. The reason is Prabhupada presented very logically and defeated, smashed all misconceptions. So his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, would have been so happy. Because apasiddhanta dvanta harine. Prabhupada said, some of his God brothers used to say, his guru had a Bhagavatam in one hand and chopper on the other hand. Isn't it? He would defeat all the bogus philosophies. And following in footsteps of his guru, Prabhupada also did that. So in this way, with great difficulty, he had to arrange for his ticket through Sumati Maharaji. And on this particular most auspicious day, Prabhupada boarded the Jaladuta. There were only 3-4 people. One of his sons called Vrindavan was there, and 2 others were there. So one of his close friends, who also came to send him off, he said, hey, you are going to America as an Indian ambassador, so we should publish your, going to America article in Amrita Bazaar Patrika and all of them. So they 2-3 papers agreed to publish, but none of those papers published. At last, there was only one small local Bengali paper which put one small article about Swamiji going. Little did they know who this Swamiji was and what is he going to do. Now imagine, in case they published it, now they can post themselves that we published it even before Swamiji went to America. They didn't do it. You will see all the great souls, they have begun in a very humble way. And then they will do something extraordinary, you will see. Prabhupada did like that. So Prabhupada had an umbrella and a trunk, one trunk of books he was carrying with him. And he was carrying Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very little luggage he carried. And the rest of the books came from Cochin. The printed books came from Cochin, where it was put in the cargo ship. It was put. And Prabhupada went in a cargo ship, which is actually meant for carrying goods abroad. So he went like a passenger, because if Prabhupada were there right now, disciples would be jumping to give him flight tickets back and forth. But at that time, when he was going from India, he didn't have any money. So he had to board a cargo ship. In fact, many other sailors and others in the dock, they were looking up and down. This old Swamiji is going to travel in a cargo ship. And they were also watching like that. So Prabhupada boarded the cargo ship on 13th, I think. Today is 13th, yeah. Today is the day he boarded. Within a couple of days, there were also heart attack. And the Atlantic, fortunately, was not very fierce. It was mild. And then, so when he got two heart attacks successively, that Prabhupada writes in his diary, I felt a severe headache, severe nausea, seasickness, fever, and chest pain, which gradually led to 2 heart attacks. So, in fact, people in the ship were also frightened. They said, Swamiji, it doesn't seem to be safe for you to travel like this in such a old age. So he traveled like this, and he was remembering in his heart, this coming Janmashtami day, there will be a great celebration in Vrindavan. And all in Vrindavan, all the different saintly persons used to visit all the temples of Vrindavan and do Govardhan Parikrama. In that way, they used to celebrate big festivals. So Prabhupada's heart was, because Prabhupada was a pure Vaishnava, he was attached to Vrindavan also in his heart. So he was remembering Vrindavan in his heart, and then, but at the same time, order of Guru was pulling him to America. See, this is the ideal consciousness for preaching. If anybody wants to preach, on one hand, one should have a great eagerness to study Acharya's commentaries, and you know, one should be like a honeybee wanting to drink the juice, taste the Shastra more and more. At the same time, remembering the order of our Acharya, Prithivite Acharya, the Nagarad Gram, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Prabhupada followed it. So we have to make more devotees and happier devotees. So keeping that order on our head, we have to go out and preach. So sometimes when you go out and preach, our study may be a little affected. Then we have to come back and study also. Study more, relish more, go out and preach. And then when you go out to preach, we should carry those sublime spiritual vibrations that awaken in our heart by regular study of the scriptures, like that. So Krishna consciousness can be best preached only by a person who is personally relishing it. One who is the greatest relisher can be the greatest preacher also, because Prabhupada was relishing like that. When he was going in Jaladuta, he was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that was the medicine for his heart attack. You know, reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's behavior with all his devotees, that was his solace, he says. So in this way, he says, as he reached America and landed there, he says, I didn't know whether to turn right or left, because I didn't know anybody there. There was only, even that Agarwal, Gopal Agarwal, his father was a very religious person. And he had some sentiments towards the father, due to which his father would time to time send his son intimation, one sadhu is coming, but none of the sadhus went to America. Although many people said, we are going. But so Gopal Agarwal thought, you know, Prabhupada is also one of the same list people. But then suddenly Swamiji arrived. Prabhupada arrived in America. So Gopal Agarwal received him. And he was agreeable to give accommodation for some period of time only, short period of time. Till Prabhupada finds out his own settlement in America. So it was like a stopgap arrangement only. So Prabhupada, this is the meaning of a missionary. Missionary means he goes to a foreign land, unknown place. And where he doesn't even know the language of the people. Where, you know, he doesn't care for his food. He doesn't care for his comforts. He doesn't care for his accommodation. He can sleep on a platform also. He can, you see, Christians, they send one Christian to a village. And they convert the whole village and they make a big church. Not that they get a lot of money from abroad necessarily. They get some money also. But these people, they lay down their life to preach in that place. And then they develop the whole village. And they are very great in love and care and personal touch. So in Bible, there is a story. Once a group of Christians were sent by Jesus to go to a foreign land to preach like that. And they were all very surrendered, pure souls. So when they reached that place, and when they wanted to preach, those people were speaking different language. But suddenly these people saw that they could speak that language. They started speaking. And they were wondering, how did we learn this language? So then their leader told them that the Holy Ghost has descended on you. So they call they have these three things, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, they call it. So if you make a one-to-one analogical comparison with our movement, the Father is Krishna, and the Son is spiritual master, and the Holy Spirit is Krishna consciousness. So when the Holy Spirit descends on them, they got the power to speak. In the same manner, when Srila Prabhupada went to America, Prabhupada could speak words which became relevant to the hippies. Can you imagine? Because, you know, he was highly Bengali accented in his English. It might have been difficult for them to understand. But Krishna in their hearts gave them faith that the Swamiji has not come to cheat you. He has come to teach you and awaken you to your eternal loving relationship with Krishna. So they developed that faith, they heard, and Prabhupada prays in that Markain Bhagavat song that, my dear Lord, this country is filled with so much of passion and ignorance. How am I going to approach them and preach to them? The city is so busy. People are all running here and there. I have no power to preach to all these people. But I am very confident that your holy name can purify their hearts, and your holy fame, the Srimad Bhagavatam, that can, you know, if that is understood by them, they will wake up. So Prabhupada, this was Prabhupada's confidence, that the Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy names of Krishna. So with such a utter humility, calling himself an insignificant beggar, with this consciousness Prabhupada entered America. So Satyavas Maharaj writes very beautifully, when Prabhupada arrives at the Boston Harbor, he says, the American country, it was filled with, billions of dollars and filled with millions of people. The country was determined to stay the way it was, he says. The country was determined to stay. That means America was determined to remain as materialistic as before. They did not know that the Swamiji, who he was. Prabhupada said, if they only knew who I am, they would have finished me. They would have killed me as before I entered only. But Prabhupada went like a needle and came out like a plow. But as he himself says, so powerfully he reached out, thanks to Srila Prabhupada, because without Prabhupada's books and without Prabhupada's disciples and without Prabhupada's temples and beautiful deities and without Prabhupada's presentation of the path of devotional service in such a lucid and elementary manner, and without Prabhupada's movement's reachability to nook and corner, we won't be sitting here today hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, thank you very much.